go ahead and open up to Mark chapter 9. Now, if you weren't here Wednesday night, I know I do this all the time. You got to remember, we're not really in the business of making money off of tapes or anything. When I tell you, you need to get a message, and even if it's one that I did, I'm telling you, you need to get that message Wednesday night. It was unique. It was special. I couldn't begin to try and relay it this morning, but God's taken us somewhere, and I'm excited about that. Wednesday night's message was called The Messenger of the Covenant, and we started off with a prophecy from Malachi, and most of you know that Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, and actually that prophecy there, at the end of the book of Malachi, there was a silence of a little over 400 years. No other prophet arose before Jesus came. So that's a pretty strong prophecy. And what he says there is, he's talking about, first he prophesies about John the Baptist. But then he says, and then the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. And he is the messenger of the covenant. Well, then we looked at him a little bit over at Hebrews, and I'm just reviewing a little bit. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 talks about in the former days, talking about the Old Testament, God would speak to man at various times and in various ways through the prophets. And there was a lot of prophets. Malachi was one of them, Isaiah, Jeremiah, we could go on and on. But he makes a distinction right there between the Old Testament prophets and this one who has spoken to us in these last days. Because he said, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. And the book of Hebrews was really written to Jewish converts who had grown up under the law of Moses. And they thought the way to please God was to do your best effort to keep the law. And under that covenant, that was what was required of them. So, and if you, of course, everyone failed, and that's why nobody could perfectly keep the law. That's why God had the blood sacrifices, the animal sacrifices, and all these different things. All of those pointing to the day when the Lamb, God's own Son, the spotless Lamb of God, would come. And he would offer the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. Well, these Jewish people, they grew up under the law. But then somebody came and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And he said, okay, yes, that was God's best during that dispensation, but now in these last days, God has sent his Son. And he came and perfectly fulfilled the law. He's the only man that ever could. But then after he perfectly fulfilled the law and was blameless before God, he stepped into man's shoes, the guilty ones, and he took all of our punishment who could not keep it. He took it upon himself, and with his own blood, he paid the price for all of your failures. And now if you'll receive him, you can be born again. God, I'm ready to go preach. Now that's the gospel that was preached to them. And these Jewish people, they heard that gospel, and many of them chose then to turn away from the law of Moses to save them. No longer did they trust in their own efforts to keep the law. They turned instead to the blood of Jesus, a better covenant established on better promises. But then the pressure came against these Jewish believers, and to go back under the law, I can just imagine their parents, and they're saying, who are you to reject Moses? And my father and his father before him, we all grew up. We know who Moses was. We know God gave him the law. We don't know who this Jesus is. We think he's an imposter. You better reject that Jesus and turn back to the God of your fathers. Turn back to the law of Moses. That's the whole pressure put on them. So the book of Hebrews, the whole book is about this. Choose who you're going to believe. Are you going to go back to the Old Testament prophets, including Moses? Or are you going to believe that in these last days, God has spoken to man by His Son. And just to cap it off, He says, by whom He made the worlds. Now, it took a while for that to dawn on my lightning quick mind. I mean, the writer of Hebrews is blasting them in the first two verses. He's not messing around. He's going, good. Hey, we respect Moses. Thank God for Moses. He was God's man in his generation. And he received the law of God, which was God's mind for his people in that day. We respect Moses. We appreciate Moses. But listen, this one who has come speaking in these last days, he made the world that Moses' feet was standing on. This one has a little higher authority than Moses. Perhaps you ought to listen to what he has to say. I mean, he's coming. You think I come out blazing with both guns blazing? I mean, the writer of Hebrews is coming out bam, bam, bluey. He's not messing around here. He is the messenger of the covenant. Then we went on and looked at John. Then we went to John chapter 3. And most people, what they really remember out of that is John 3:16, and that's good to remember. But really, Nicodemus did not come asking how to make heaven. What he come wanting to talk to Jesus about is, how are you doing the things that you're doing? No man can do these things except that he's sent of God. How are you doing this? And so Jesus begins trying to talk to him. Now, you got to get this picture. Those of us that's been down the born-again trail, this means a lot more to you. But here's Nicodemus. Here, let me use my hands like this. Here's Nicodemus standing here. He is a human, descended from Adam, as we all are. That nature of sin and death has been passed down to him, generation to generation to generation. He has on the inside of him the nature of sin and death. The Bible calls it the spirit of the world. He is talking to Jesus. The other person here, Jesus, he is standing there, not descended from Adam, only his body. His spirit, the life on the inside of him, was spawned in the womb of Mary by the Holy Ghost. His Father is God, not Adam. So you've got two. Now, externally, if people were watching this discussion, just externally, they look the same. It looks human to human. But we're really looking at two different species of human. Two different species, can I say it that way? And it wouldn't make any difference what their skin color was. Y'all do know that Jesus is not white. He's Jewish. Olive. It wouldn't make any difference, though. All right. What matters is their spiritual birth. Who is their father? All right. So here you've got Nicodemus wondering how in the world. He's talking to this man from another world. He doesn't really understand it yet, but he's like, how are you doing these things that you're doing? Well, Jesus begins trying to explain to him one species to another species. And he's going, Nicodemus, to even enter into the kind of understanding that I have, the realm that I'm operating in. Nicodemus, you have to be born again. Now, Nicodemus, thinking only naturally, is going, can a natural man go, I'm full grown, how can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? He has no clue what Jesus is talking about. Thank God we do. Hey, we have a higher level of accountability than Nicodemus. He says, no, Nicodemus, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Don't marvel at I say you have to be born again. Well, he keeps trying to explain all this to Nicodemus. And finally, if Jesus can get frustrated, he says to him, Nicodemus, he keeps trying. He takes two or three runs at this. And then finally he goes, Nicodemus, if I've told you and spoken to you about earthly things and you don't understand that, how in the world would you understand if I start telling you about heavenly things. Then he makes this astounding statement, and I've heard it all my life, but only in the last few months is it starting to come alive in me. Now, this is why Jesus is the unique, only messenger of the covenant. He says, Nicodemus, no man has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven and is now in heaven. I didn't get that. I mean, you know what he's saying? Nicodemus, not even Adam came from heaven. I'm the only one who's ever been there. There's never been another witness like me. There's never been another messenger like me. Those prophets in the Old Testament, they heard about these things from God. They may have seen visions of these things from God. But Nicodemus, not one of them, not one, was ever there. I am the only messenger that has come from God to tell you about this new covenant. That's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. Glory to God. You're dismissed. Is that good stuff? I mean, just chew on that for a while. Just chew on that for a while. Well, now that we know who we're dealing with, this messenger of the covenant, this is where I can't get away from this. Now, did I tell you to turn to Mark 9? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Mark chapter 9. And this is that familiar passage that we've... At the prayer center, Dave teaches on this a lot, but normally he teaches out of Matthew 17, which is the same story, but a different version. Mark gives us some information that's just not in Matthew 17. So let's look at it. This is where that man brought his deaf and dumb child. We'll just start in verse 14. Excuse me. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked of the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he... Boy, now, I've been in a lot of prayer lines, and Sue and I, we prayed for some serious cases, but I've never had one like this. I'm not saying we never will, but so far we never have. How would y'all like for this one to show up in your prayer lines? Well, the day will come, you'll be looking for him to show up. See? See, there's revival in this one. See, there's revival. This is the kind you're looking for. Headaches don't necessarily, you know, if a headache get healed, it's one thing. One of these guys gets healed, and it happens more than once. Now you're talking revival. Remember that time when Dave was in Cleveland a few years ago, Cleveland, Tennessee? Do y'all remember that? And this, one of the miracles that happened, this little gal that came, she was born with one arm that was just a little deformed. It's just shorter and quite different looking than her other arm. Well, it's just like in the New Testament. Stretch forth thine hand, you know. And so in the service, she gets totally healed. Now, the thing of it is, Cleveland, Tennessee is not a massive metropolis. It's a relatively small town. Everybody in town knows that girl. So here she starts just going about her business the next day, going to the store, going to the laundry, whatever she's doing, and people are going, I don't know her name. Susie, whatever her name was. Susie, your arm. What happened, Susie? Your arm. She goes, did you go to the, what? Tell me about your arm. I went to this service and they got a revival going on, and this man prayed for me in the name of Jesus, and my arm became normal. What time are they still having services tonight? I've got a niece, I've got an aunt, I've got somebody who's, they started coming from all over Tennessee. We kept trying to get our pastor back week after week. I think it was 6 weeks before this thing was over. People were coming to that meeting from as far away as Atlanta, and they were coming down from Canada. Pastors were coming from other states. Revival had started. When they finally come, near the end of that 6 weeks, you know who was doing most of the preaching here? I'm going, am I going to have to call the sheriff? Norval has kidnapped our pastor. See, that's where revival lives. Those kinds of things. We're awfully close to something, people. We're awfully close. So, anymore. Hey, let's not go, oh God, no, oh God, no. Dave said something on a recent tape. I've listened to it I don't know how many times. He says, you might enjoy those visits to the hospital if something happened when you prayed. He does it with a lot more humor than me. And I probably laughed when he said that on the tape because he does it with humor, you know. And about an hour later, I go, hey, I got sliced and diced, you know. He's telling me I don't have any faith. Well, I just flat tell you. No, I'm talking to me now. I'm just talking to me anyway. See, when I begin to understand this, this is on Wednesday nights also. It's always bothered me why sometimes Jesus, is Jesus love? You know, and those guys, when he told them to cross over, get in the boat, cross over to the other side, and that great storm came, and they rowed and fought and bailed and wore themselves out all night. I mean, these are not wimps. They didn't just cave at the first little gust of wind. I mean, they worked and toiled. And finally, with all their best efforts still, the boat is right on the verge of sinking. They finally wake Jesus up. And he rebukes the wind and the waves, peace be still, and the great calm came. And then he turns around and looks at them. Can't you see them standing there, dripping wet, worn out, every muscle in their body aching from working hard all night for Jesus? Anyone ever feel like this, by the way, ever working so hard, and doing all of this? And, hey, that prayer line we had the last day of the conference, I'm going to get in trouble now, but it's okay. God, that thing went on and on and on. Now, Becky's here. She's a witness. Bronk's the lifter, right? Bronk, Pastor Bronk, the lifter. After about 3 hours, we had all these different groups praying. Sue and I were praying for a bunch. Dave was praying for a bunch. Bronk was praying on, I forget who all. Hundreds. This line's going on for hours. Finally, Bronk leans over to Becky and goes, is Gary still praying? Yeah, him and Sue are still praying. Well, I can't quit till he does. What do you think it's going to be like? What do you think it's going to be like when the whole city begins coming? When that vision starts coming to pass that Dave has seen all those years ago where the ambulances are out there. I know why they're clearing the field next door. Now, they may have some other reason. They may think they're doing it for another reason. But the ambulances and they're bringing all of these people and they're coming in with the wheelchairs and on litters and carrying and the blind. We better start getting in physical shape too. How long are those prayer lines going to be for you? What, you think me and Sue are going to be up here by ourselves? I'm talking about for you. Turn to your neighbor and go, you. Yeah, yeah. You. Then he's going to ignite every one of you like a little, like a torch. Like a flaming arrow. And he's going to start shooting you all over the world to bring revival. Not only to the Christian world all over the globe, but into the Muslim nations, Hindu nations, Buddhist nations. Glory to God. But we're on a path there. And this, what we're looking at today, is part of that path. Back to those disciples. Here they are, all dripping wet, worn out, tired. And it used to bother me. I mean, I would think Jesus would start patting them on the back and going, boy, I appreciate you guys toiling all night like that, man. I got to give you credit. You didn't just wimp out at the first little gust of wind. You rode hard. You didn't even bother me. I mean, you waited till it was just life and death. Atta boy, you did good. Isn't that what you'd expect? You know what he says to him? How is it? And I've always tried to get the real picture that's on his face. I mean, if it goes anything like the words, it has to be something like just a look of total unbelief almost, on his incredible look, like he's looking at him. Now, he can see him standing there dripping wet, tired, worn out. He's looking at him, and he goes, how is it? I always don't want to look at anybody when I do this. How is it that you have no faith? But now I'm beginning to understand it. He is the only messenger. Wednesday night we got into John chapter 17 where he's praying to the Father. And one of the things he says, Father, I have given them the words that you gave me. And they have received them. But it took a while for them to receive them. So this is why he would say to them like that instead of an attaboy. In King James it says, how is it you have no faith? But now I'm beginning to understand why it's so terse. Is that a good word? Terse? He's going, don't you believe what I'm telling you yet? Don't you believe the message I brought? When are you going to believe that what I'm telling you is the truth? And that's scary. That's scary stuff. Well, now watch this. Verse 17, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I brought him to the church. Oh, no, it says, I spake to thy disciples. If we're not his disciples in this generation, then who is? See, this is talking about us. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faith, here it is again. I mean, these men have been trying to cast this devil out. In Matthew's account, we get a little more. They did everything they knew to do, and they've already been casting out devils. So again, you'd almost think, well, I appreciate. In today's vernacular, we'd like to say it. We'd want Jesus to say it to us like this. Well, I appreciate your faith level. I know that you're just at a certain faith level. You know, I know you've cast out devils before, so you have little devil faith. Or something. We want him to, you know, let's not talk about my lack of faith. Let's talk about my faith level. But he says, oh, faithless. I couldn't understand that either. That just doesn't seem fair. See, you got to understand, Jesus is not trying to believe with us. He's looking at this from a place called done. And to him, casting out a cold devil, will you allow me that? You understand what I'm trying to say? Handling a cold is no different than putting on a leg for somebody who don't have one. What difference, for crying out loud, does that make to God? That's why. Is it over yet? Somebody looking at the clock. Oh God, let me out of here. No. I feel like that my own self. But it's really not a, it's not, when it gets through, it's not a condemnation message, it's a hope message. See? But that's why I couldn't understand that. Oh, faithless generation, to people who's already been casting out devils. I mean, it's hard words, but this is love. This is love with legs talking. But he has to speak the truth to us in love. So he's letting them know, no, oh, faithless generation, it doesn't make any difference. Just because this one foams and gnashes, wallows on the ground. Ooh. I'm thinking his answer is something along that line. Scared you, did he? Did the devil go boo? Now, I know it's not exactly like that, but I'm beginning to get a little clue of where he's coming from. What difference does it make to God whether it foams on the ground, you know, foams at the mouth and wallows on the ground? What difference does that make? Faithless generation. In other words, again, if you'll ever believe this message, which we're just about to get into it, you know what Jesus called his message? The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is what he called the message. One of the verses we're going to look at, when he sends out the 12, he says, We'll get there in a minute. He called this the gospel of the kingdom. See, what that's what Adam really lost. Adam never had dominion in heaven. Do you understand that? God gave Adam and Eve, which he just called Adam. He gave man, Adam, dominion over the earth. He gave him the kingdom, the rulership over the earth, dominion over it. And that's what Adam lost. Through high treason, through rebellion, through direct disobedience to what God had said, he basically bowed the knee when he partook of what he knew God forbid. And he lost the kingship, can I say it that way? He lost the dominion. He lost it by default. If we had time, we could go into really why. But the Holy Spirit does not anoint death. And when death and sin became his nature, the Holy Spirit withdrew. When Adam spoke, the Holy Spirit did not enforce those words anymore. He lost the kingdom. How many of you knows the Bible says Jesus is the second man? He is the last Adam. There's not coming another one. He is the last Adam. And he's come to spawn a new species of being once again, born of the Spirit of the living God, who once more has life in their nature, that the Holy Spirit can come and anoint that life with dominion, so that when you speak in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit performs what you say. Now, people, there's a lot of movement right now against what we call traditionally the word of faith. And they have good justification for that in many ways, because a lot of flaky stuff's being taught out there that Dad Hagen would never approve of. But they're preaching it under the banner of the word of faith. So there's a backlash going on, and I can understand why it's going on. This gospel is not about longer cars and VCRs. This gospel is not about your cushy little life. That's not what your life is about. This gospel is about saving a lost world, bringing in the precious fruit of the earth, and giving your life completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who do that, there is a word of faith gospel, a word of faith doctrine that is true. And part of it is what we just went through, where by believing in this gospel, your spirit goes from death to life. You actually move from one species to another. You actually go from being a man like Nicodemus with the spirit of Adam, that spirit of the world in him. You go to being in the family of Jesus Christ with the nature of God on the inside of you, who once more now the Holy Spirit can come and anoint your words and bring dominion once again to this earth. This is the gospel of the kingdom. In a nutshell, he could say it this way. Adam lost the kingdom. I have come to give it back to you. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, now can you understand why this witness from another realm, this only one who's ever been there, he says, now to you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Why? Once more, the Holy Spirit is united with this species. under the banner of the last Adam. And when they speak in His name, the Holy Spirit performs that word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Boy, religion comes against that. Religion comes against it. Because that puts all the responsibility. See, those same ones that get so mad at me and others like me, like the one in Korea that was so angry the spittle was landing on my shirt. He was just shouting at me. Who are you, a mere man, to tell God anything? God is sovereign and He does what He wants. And if He decides to humble you with cancer, who are you to resist that? Now see, that sounds to the natural ear so humble and so giving honor to God. That is the devil's mouthpiece, I'll just tell you plain. And that's a good man, I'm sure, that's doing his best to serve God. But he is in a bad way. My response, I'm sure it didn't change him, but my response is, sir, I believe in the sovereign God. It wasn't my idea. He chose sovereignly. He chose 2,000 years ago to send His own Son to the cross, not only to bear my sin, but to bear my sickness and carry my pain. And by His stripes, I was healed. Sir, that wasn't my idea. God sovereignly chose to do that. And I am preaching the gospel of the sovereign God you're talking about. I just choose to believe what He sovereignly did. He didn't like that either. But I hope it penetrated enough to at least make him think. You never know. Verse 18. Now let's go past there. For God's sake, let's get past 19. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him. Boy, I did not understand this. Steve, you're going to like, we heard it Wednesday night. You're going to like it when I do it again. Why in the world would that spirit, when it sees Jesus, throw the boy on the ground? I guess I better finish reading the verse. Somebody may be driving and not have a Bible with him. So they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. What is the strategy of that devil? Why is it doing that? It's got some reason for doing that. For additional tapes. Finally, it dawned on my lightning quick mind. I said, oh my God. He's going to see if this one can be moved by what he sees, like the disciples were moved by what they saw. He's going to, let's see if I can move this one away from his faith, from his belief. I'll throw such a hissy fit. Is that allowed? Hissy fit? I'll make such circumstances, wallow and foam and probably no telling what all. I mean, and I see if I can move this one away. See if the circumstances will move his faith. Like I just did the 12. Or however many it was praying. Thing of it is, Jesus is not moved by anything except the Word. So, look what he says. Verse 21, he asked his father, how long is it since this came into him? And he said of the child, oftentimes, in other words, this isn't nothing new. It's cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Boy, now here's the verse I can't get away from here lately. Jesus said unto him, now let's let Jesus say it unto us too. This is the messenger of the covenant. He's trying to get us to believe things that are true, that are completely foreign to anything we have ever learned in this world. And he says, not only to this man, but to each one of us, if you can believe, All things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And you have to understand, the man, he did believe to a certain degree. Otherwise, he wouldn't have brought his son to him in the first place. He's not lying. He's going, why do you think I'm here? So Jesus is talking about something beyond that. See, because we have a lot of people right here in the church that, they've brought their children maybe, or an aunt or a mother or somebody, or their own self. And when you get in the prayer line, it's not because you're not believing. That's the way we look at it. Why do you think I'm in the prayer line? But then very often they go back home the same way they came. So this believing Jesus is talking about is something different than what we normally think of as believing. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, if this was the message today, we'd go on over to Matthew's account because he gives more information there. When they said, why couldn't it happen? Why didn't it happen when we prayed? He said, it's because of your unbelief. Not because it's a big devil. Because of your unbelief. You were moved by what you saw. You were moved by what you saw, and it affected what you believed. He says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. What's that really talking about? We have a whole tape series called Mustard Seed Faith. I grew up my whole life them preaching from that. See, my brothers and sisters, all it takes is a little faith. Just a little faith the size. How many of you ever heard a message like that? Just a little faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, and you can command this mountain and it'll move. He just got through saying, the reason the mountain wouldn't move, in their case, that devil, the reason the mountain wouldn't move was your little faith. So he's not turning around in the next breath and saying, little faith will move the mountain. What is he saying? If you have faith as a seed, if you have faith that'll grow, if you'll keep at this, the day will come. You can even say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And nothing, nothing shall by any means be impossible to you. How be it this kind? This kind of what? Devil? He didn't say the devil was the problem. He said the unbelief was the problem. This kind of unbelief goes not out, but by prayer and by fasting. Now we're getting to the good news. You're going to the right church. There's a lot of churches even here in this town. They're not going to be getting you into fasting. They're not going to be getting you into prayer. There may be a little bit. But that's not the major issues. You're going to the right church. If you keep praying and you keep fasting and we keep doing the assimilating and the meditating, the good news. See, if we had to change God in order to get the miracle, we're sunk. Because God's not even capable of changing. He can't even, I don't know that he can change himself. God doesn't change and he can't change. So we'd be sunk if we had to get him to change. Well, if we had to get the devil to change, what do you think the odds are there? Can't get the devil to change. And until this next dispensation, we can't change this fallen world, really. Sin and death is going to continue until the new heaven and the new earth. Well, if God won't change or can't change, and we can't change the devil, we can't change the world, that only leaves one other person in this equation. Thank God it's us. We can change. That gives us a hope for revival. I was just thinking again today. Hey, do y'all ever... Okay, time out. Maybe we can get this off the tape. Maybe not. Well, they're not taking the pictures, so nobody will know it's you. Do y'all ever get tired of praying on? Y'all get... Nobody's hands going up. I knew nobody's hands would go up. Okay, I'll just use me. I won't ask you. Do you ever get tempted just... I know you do. Why don't you just stop this? Go back to the first church of whatever. be nice, make a good living, and just go to heaven. Why don't you just stop all this contending for this supernatural revival? Why don't you just stop that and just be a nice little Christian? You go to heaven, and you will, as long as you don't forsake the blood. There's going to be a lot of... Hey, if the thief made it, there's going to be a lot of people in heaven with their testimony is the blood is enough. No reward. And you could be that. We could do that. I was thinking again this morning. Just kill me now. Just kill me now. What in the world are we living for? You think I'm living for a bigger boat? Or how about any boat? I don't have a boat. a 60-inch screen, that's what motivates me, buddy. I'm just living for my 60. I'm going to get one of them 60-inch screens and that new HD thing, whatever that is. Yeah, that's what motivates me, and we're going to get a better car. If that's what your life is about, just kill me now. I may not be living on the other side of the veil, but I've been at this long enough, I can see the other side of the veil. And I have to have this land. Maybe I've only smelled the grapes. I haven't really tasted of the grapes. But that alone is enough to motivate me. This is purpose in life, something to give my life for. I mean, you can say what you want about the Muslims. Those young men that walk in and blow themselves up, at least they believe what they believe to the point they'll give their life for it. Would to God we had Christians like that, including yours truly. Give my life for something. How about contending for this gospel of the kingdom? Glory to God. I want to take you through some verses. Boy, this part, before we even do that, let's go back to this. Here's our verse, verse 23. Y'all want to chew on something now. Mark 9:23. Chew on this for a few weeks. Chew on this. Meditate on this. Picture yourself standing there talking with Jesus. And He's having this conversation with you. Now here's the messenger come from the other side. Now many of you may have had visions and revelations of the Lord at this point. Maybe even have been in your spirit translated to heaven and walked around. I never have. But I know physically you haven't been there yet. Okay? We only have one witness. That's Jesus. Now He's standing there and He's telling you. He's come to this earth and He's trying to get us to believe something. What is it you're trying to get me to believe? I'm trying to get you to believe this. Listen to what I'm telling you now. I have been there. I know your Father. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not guessing. I'm not trying to believe this. What I'm telling you is established fact. There is a kingdom that He's giving back to you. And if you can just believe that, all things are possible. Chew on that for a while. See, but it isn't happening when I pray. If you can believe. But it feels like I'm believing. I mean, I wouldn't call the prayer line. Or conversely, I wouldn't get in the prayer line. Or I wouldn't bring my mother in the prayer line. If I didn't believe. It feels like I'm believing. See, that's what... How many times have you heard Dave say this out of the same account in Matthew 17? He said, this kind of unbelief, it's very deceitful. You don't really realize that you have it. I mean, if the disciples knew that they had it, why ask? They're thinking they are believing. And Jesus is going, it's because of your unbelief. And they're going, but it feels like we're believing. We acted on it based on the fact that is this bearing witness with you? So whatever Jesus calls believing is something different than what we call believing. Now I'm just now beginning to get a glimpse of, again, something Dad Hagen said all those years ago. Most of the time what we're calling believing is mental assent. And faith is not of the mind. Faith is a force from the heart. There's something, this what he calls believing has got something more to do with our heart than it does with our mind. Well, I think I believe it. It seems to me like, Rudy, I believe it. It seems to me like I believe it. I wouldn't have prayed if I didn't. Did it happen? Did it happen when you prayed? Well, no. Right now, you've only got two issues here. You've only got two choices. Either you believed and God failed to do what Jesus said He would do, or what you call believing is not what He calls believing. Ow. But right on the other hand, hooray. Because again, that can change. See, Jesus is the messenger of the covenant. Jesus is not on the earth anymore, not physically. In His glorified body, He is seated at the right hand of the Father. So guess what He did? Look how good this is. Because He knew He's all going to get born again here in this gospel. He says, well, I'm not there to teach them physically. But they do need a teacher from this world, from the world of the kingdom, from the world of the Father. Who would be qualified to teach them? Let's see. Oh, the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. He could go, because He's everywhere all at once, He could go and teach, He could tutor one-on-one each one of them all at the same time, forever. And even though He's full-time Gary Carpenter's personal teacher, He is at that same moment Red's full-time personal teacher, as though He had no other student in the universe but Red. And it's the same way with Danny. And it's the same way with, that's Mount Sue. Mary, right. Helena. That's the good news. You're going to the right church. Who else? You tell me the school where we, on earth right now, that when you graduate from it, you can get Tommy out of the chair. 100% of the time. Listen, it's not God's will to get 2% of them out of the chair. It's God's will to get all of them out of the chair. He is not picking and choosing who He heals. Now, that would make that Korean pastor so mad he'd be spitting at me again. But that's the truth. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I've already done my homework assignment. Everyone that ever came to Him for healing, all of them, every one of them, every time, 100%, all of them got what they came for. Never once did He say, it's the will of the Father to heal you, but it's not the will of the Father to heal you. You don't find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right? I don't know of any school yet. I mean, there are some good ones. I don't want to mention names where some results happen. But listen, people, the teacher is here everywhere. You can be in training for this all the time, anywhere that you want to be trained. Because the Holy Spirit is omnipresent all the time. Hallelujah. I keep seeing myself in this conversation with Jesus. And I'm standing there and I'm going, Lord, I believe. I believe, Lord. Lord, you know, Sue and I have been preaching this now, even here at the prayer center we started here in 1992, but Lord, starting in 1980, what do you mean we don't believe? Would He have a different answer for me if I pray and it doesn't happen? Would He? That's a real, anyway. He'd say again, if you can believe, if you can believe. I am believing. With love and tenderness in His eyes, He'd look at me again. If you can believe, all things are possible. This is the gospel of the kingdom. All right, you're in Mark. Back up to Matthew. I'm going to look at a few verses, and you can take notes on this if you like. Just write down the verses. This is your homework assignment. The gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 4:23. Because you're going to see something that happens whenever Jesus would preach the gospel of the kingdom, it was always in conjunction with something else. Actually, two other things. Teaching and preaching and healing. Watch this. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Tulsa. Jesus, that he's coming. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the what? The gospel of the kingdom. And right as he would finish preaching the gospel of the kingdom, first he would teach. You know what I personally think? I think he went all the way back to Adam. I think he was teaching these things, much like what's happened here today. He would teach them from the Old Testament about how the kingdom was lost and about how a new king has come. And, you know, he would teach, but then based on that teaching, then he would preach. Now, that's when he starts, that's when you start putting practicality to it. All right, I taught you all of that. Now, listen, this is what it means to your life. If you can believe. If you can believe, all things are possible. See, that's preaching. That's going from the teaching to the preaching. Now he's exhorting them and encouraging them. And then what would happen? He'd have some kind of a prayer line or something, because then it says, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. After he preached what? The gospel of the kingdom. Adam lost it. Jesus got it back. And we operate in His name. Let's look at it a few more places. Look at Matthew 9:35. See it again. First it was only in Galilee. But now in Matthew 9:35 it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Can you see a connection? All right, look at Matthew 24:14. Here's Jesus talking about the end times. They wanted to know when the end would come. One of the things, there was a lot of things he said, but this is one of them. This gospel. Boy, if you underline, this gospel. Not the one the Korean pastor was preaching, and I'm sorry to say that. Not that one where God puts sickness and disease on you and there's nothing you can do about it. That's not the gospel of the kingdom. This gospel of the kingdom. His name is above cancer. His name is above every sickness and every disease. God has given us the kingdom back in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Tulsa is in revival. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. It's the gospel of the kingdom. Give us more boldness to preach this real gospel. Here he'd teach them, and then he would preach, and right on that he said, now bring me your sick, bring me your halt, bring the lame, bring the blind. And notice again, here he says, in 24:14 he says, and this gospel of the kingdom, this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness testifies of something he has seen. Once I was blind, now I see. This man became a witness. See, all we've done, we've gone and we've told them words. But notice how Jesus did it when he sent out the 12. Go on down to Matthew. Go back to Matthew 10. We'll look at verse 7 through 14. This is how we're supposed to preach this gospel of the kingdom. He's sending out the 12. We'll just pick it up in verse 7. Matthew 10:7. And as you go, preach. Now what are they supposed to preach? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hold out your hand. Hold out your hand. If something is at hand, that means you can get it. I mean, if it's way far off like heaven, you can't get it. So why would he say the kingdom of God is at hand? It's within your reach. He's preaching to them. You can have it now. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then, how do you show that? How do you prove it to them? Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. What? Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses nor scrip for your journey. I told you it's not about longer cars and VCRs. Neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Later on, after they come back, he said, did you lack anything? No, we did not lack a thing, Lord. Neither will you lack today. Anyway, I have to be careful right there. Let's go on. Whatsoever, verse 11, whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if not worthy, let your peace return to you. But now look at verse 14. After they have preached, after they have healed the sick, after they have cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, and cast out devils, then whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. We haven't preached the gospel to every kingdom. We haven't preached this gospel to every nation. We've tried to win the Muslim nation with a word debate. We have our Bible. They have their Quran. We argue for 2 hours and everybody goes home mad and nothing happens. But if we was to, what would happen if somebody went in preaching this gospel with demonstration of the Spirit and in power? Where after you preach it, you say, now bring me your halt, you're sick, you're lame, and you're blind. And they'll watch as you heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. And they watched it all. Then you say, anyone want to receive Jesus? You start going to have an impact now, even on the Muslim world. Even on the Muslim world. Now, not all of them. That's why Jesus said, even after seeing all of that, there's going to be some that will not believe. Shake off the dust of your feet. Don't spend the next 10 years trying to win that person. Go on to the next one. Did y'all get anything out of that? All right, here's your homework now. Got 30 seconds. Go back to Mark 9. This week, if you'll, it'd be good for you to do this. I want you to picture yourself with Jesus. You're having a conversation and you just got through praying for somebody and it didn't work. And you're asking him, why didn't it work? Now, you wouldn't have prayed for him if you didn't think you believed. But he says to you, if you can believe, I'm the witness. I'm the one that's been there. I'm telling you, can you believe this? If you can believe, all things are possible. And then you have your own conversation with him like, Lord, it feels to me like I'm believing. See what he says back to you. I think if you'll do that for a while, you're going to be back in your own prayer closet. Be back in pushing away from that table again. Because this kind of unbelief still comes out. But by prayer and fasting. See you in 30 minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Praise God for